This is Leafs Nation postgame.
Let's go!
With Gord Stellick and Mark Savard. Brought to you by your local GTA Acura dealers. Visit yours today.
Yes, one of those nights. One of those nights. Just when you're expecting, hoping for a great night, great hockey night in Canada action, it does not happen. I thought Jim Ralph had a good assessment at the end. He said it looked like the first 4 minutes of the game, the Toronto Maple Leafs might just take this and run with it, but it did not happen. The Arizona Coyotes, a 2-0 shutout victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Chris Johnston is in Arizona. We'll join him. We'll hear from Mike Babcock. We'll hear from many of the players involved in tonight's game. We'll play the goal highlights. That won't be much a little bit later on. So we've got a lot to cover tonight's game. And as we do the walk to the subway, I don't imagine there's a subway by the arena in Arizona. Don't know. But we do it here. And we also welcome you, our Leafs Nation listeners. If you want to get in from time to time, we're able to take calls. And 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. If you want to join in the conversation, more than welcome to for a few minutes' time. And Savvy, the walk to the subway, start of the third period, you hoped the lines would be shaken up a little bit. Did they shake, rattle, roll? What's your thinking of tonight?
You know, Mike Babcock did put an effort in, but his team didn't. So at the end of the day, he tried to roll different line mates to start the period. I saw Marner with Matthews and Kapanen. Nylander moved with John Tavares and Hyman. So he tried, but when your team doesn't have it, Gord, you just don't have it, right? So at the end of the day, he tried to do what he could, but if his team's not going to reciprocate, I guess there's no use in trying. But at the end of the day, it was one of those games, 82 games, Gord. We've talked about this many times. You're not going to play 82 great games. And this is one of the nights that they decided to take a pass.
You know, I remember going out, and Jim Gregory's a guy I just, you know, he's like the guy. Former general manager of the Maple Leafs, been with the NHL for a long period of time, and just a guy that everybody respects and reveres. And I can just remember being at games with him. He's one of these guys that, and a lot of scouts can do it, they'll go to a game and they'll be able to pick the flow of the game. You know what I mean? And it's one of those that as you get the flow early, then you don't get it. And then Arizona takes over. Then they get the confidence. Then you don't get space, you know, and all these kinds of things. And you don't even know who the two teams are, but you can kind of see how the ebb and flow of the game's going to go. And that was kind of the way like it was tonight.
Yeah, it really was. You just knew right away that they just didn't have it. Like you said, 4 minutes in, they could have had it and they didn't. And then they just kind of fell into this lull. And, you know, there's that line that a lot of coaches like to use that you just can't flick the switch in this league. You can't just decide to flick the switch and turn it on and dominate. You know, you would think the Leafs with their high octane offense could do it at times, and they have this year, but tonight they were flicking the switch and no one was home.
Power play as well. And that's been the story the last two games, as a power play that had been sputtering, has been on fire. And tonight, not a ton of opportunities, but they had one early just before the end of the first period. They had the double minor opportunity, and it just almost later on, and it just seemed like it was more the power play that we saw when they were 4-for-43 before the last two games.
Yeah, it was a power play that didn't really have much answers tonight, didn't really have that movement that we've seen lately. It was almost like everybody was in quicksand, Gord, and, you know, it's okay to have it one night and not have it, you know, once in a while, but that power play needs to stay effective. They need a move to be effective. And tonight, like we said, they just didn't have it from any player. No one stood out to me. And later on, you're going to ask me about my hardest working Leaf. And that's going to be a tough pick.
Well, I'm going to give you some time on that. I don't want to put pressure on you that way. And again, in the neutral zone spotlight, it was Austin Matthews. Like, it's funny, this road trip, it's a long road trip, 6 games, 12 nights, maybe the longest road trip. I know, talking to Jim Ralph, that he can remember. I don't ever remember being on one like that my long time,
you know,
involved
what?
With the Leafs.
Sorry to cut you off, but I had one in Calgary. 19 days.
Really?
19 days.
Now, was something going on at the arena?
And I think there might have been a circus. Sam McKee was in town. But it was Yeah, no, the rodeo. It might have been a rodeo, actually.
It could have been the Briar.
It could have been the Briar. The Briar. It was something.
Everyone always blames all these things. How can a rodeo go for 19 days? Yeah, I'm sorry, even in Calgary.
That'd be one hell of a ride.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, yeah. Yeah, you want to go to the rodeo again tonight? No, I've been the last 9 days in a row. Yeah.
But anyways, we had a 19-day trip, and I think it was just planned by the NHL. There might have been a quick rodeo in there or whatever there was, but it was definitely the longest trip ever. I feel like I moved away from home. You know, some guys that only bring one suit had a real tough trip, but, anyways, it was a tough one. And the Leafs, you know, sometimes it helps out. 11 days ain't that bad.
Well, it's a lot better when you're winning, and they were winning in some neat spots like Colorado and Las Vegas. So I was just saying, with this trip, you had the Montreal game last week, which was really a marquee game. Let's face it, Leafs Montreal Canadian battles, and the Leafs won that. That was very exciting in overtime. And then, just because of Austin Matthews in Arizona, like, so you've had John Tavares, hasn't gone back to the New York Islanders yet, but when the New York Islanders came to town to play the Maple Leafs, there was a little bit of jam about that the first time playing his old team. And I know this isn't the first time Austin Matthews has gone back to Arizona, but just it's the one time he does all year, and you kind of thought, okay, Leaf fans in the building, a rare sellout in Arizona because of the Leaf fans, and yeah, bring it on. And like we're just chatting about, for 4 minutes they did, and then this wasn't the game you quite expected to be this kind of a clunker.
Yeah, not at all. And you think because of like the Austin Matthews story, there would have been a better storyline to it with all his buddies. You know, he's got great friends on the team. You think everybody would have been rising to this occasion maybe to help him out a bit. But no, everybody was flat tonight. No one had it. I really am going to have a horrible time picking out the Leaf of the game, and the Ottawa Senators just won in overtime. Nice play by Chabot to DeZingle. But anyways, Zingle, yeah, it really was. It was a tough game. If you were a fan of the Maple Leafs, to watch this one on a Saturday night, they just didn't have it.
Yeah, and there's 12 games in total. As you mentioned, the Ottawa Senators just winning in overtime over the Winnipeg Jets. There were some this afternoon, and as we hone in on the playoff races, but also trade deadline implications, you got some teams kind of wondering if they're buyers and sellers, and their next couple of games could go a long way to determining that. So we'll keep you up to date about all that's going on the out-of-town scoreboard as well. Interesting with Arizona, it wasn't like Leafs were out of the game. You know, there's no score after one period of play. Arizona gets two goals. And then you got a great tweet out at MSavvy91.
MSavvy91.
And it, of all people, it looked like the Leafs had cut the margin.
Yeah, it did. And unfortunately, like I said in my tweet, it's been a year of misfortunes for William Nylander, and there's another one. He looks like he's going to get his team back in the game. A real questionable call. They didn't have a great angle of it. It looked like it was bar height, but, you know, and the ref called it a goal first, but then he reconvened before he officially called it a goal, and then it was a no goal, and it just seems William Nylander's year. Then he gets in a car accident with Kapanen at the beginning of the year, takes Garrett Sparks out and Prax with a shot to the head, goes off sides on a Matthews goal where they were making another comeback in another game. Poor William.
Yeah, well, explain the goal. It was a lot of skill, even though it was no
so
goal.
So much skill. It was a relatively kerfuffle in front of the net where the puck sprung up in the air about shoulder height, and he was facing his own goaltender, Freddie Anderson, from about inside the hash marks of the other zone, and he was able to toe it off the tip of his stick backwards, which ended up hitting his own shoulder and then popping over Darcy Kemper, who didn't see a thing, and it went in the net. It was just a really skilled, highly skilled play by William Nylander.
Yeah, unfortunately, then, and it was interesting as well when the officials convened, and I give them credit for doing it right, because first of all, the back official had signaled good goal, and then when they convened, they made it clear it was no goal. They made it clear it was no goal call on the ice, because then that changes in how they view it from the war room. And it went back to the war room in Toronto, but it just means now you have to have irrefutable evidence that going the other way. So it changes the edge. Tie goes to the runner, so tie would have gone to Nylander's goal, counting by the original call by the back official. But tie goes on the other side, and it was a pretty quick review.
But a tough one, though, Gord, when the guy behind the net clearly, I don't know which the ref was it, but he points it's a goal behind the net, and he seems to have the best, you know, vantage point of it. And it must have been the guys outside the line, because none of the other refs are in the zone at the time, right?
Yeah.
Am I correct? There's a linesman at the blue line, another linesman maybe a little bit more in the center ice area, and the ref outside the blue line. So, you know, the guy behind the net clearly calls it a goal, and then it's just No goal. So
referee Brad Watson and Tom Chmielewski. Now, Brad Watson's a senior ref. Tom Chmielewski's not. So you wonder sometime, does the senior guy override or do they listen to the linesman's opinion about it, whatever? So it didn't count. That would have got the Leafs back in the game. And then maybe the only other flutter was at the end of the game with the goaltender pulled. They pulled the goaltender early and had some great chances. Then it looked like then it also looked like Kemper might have scored a goal when he wired it down the ice and some empty net chances, but they didn't get it in. But they made it a little interesting when they were 6-on-5.
Yeah, for sure. They had opportunities, and I was really impressed with Mike Babcock pulling the goalie with about 4 minutes left, to be honest. I think it was about 4 minutes left in that game when the goalie came out. Well, you would tell on Freddie Anderson's ice time tonight. What did he have? Frederick Anderson. There is a stat. Find it. Yeah, 46-32. So they pulled him with
56-32. 46-32, he would have been out for 13 minutes.
Yeah, I know. That's where I test you again.
No problem.
I'm testing you.
Okay.
But anyway.
So he's out for 3 minutes, 28 seconds.
Yeah.
Your point is a substantial amount of time.
Anyways, that was good by Mike Babcock, realizing that he had nothing going. Might as well try something out. And they forced the issue. And they had some great opportunities. But again, just one of those night score doesn't go in the back of the net and you got no chance.
Well, they'll have one more game, right, in St. Louis on Tuesday. So they're going to spend another day in Arizona, which I guess, actually, St. Louis is quite a nice city as well. But you get a chance to go to Arizona, they're going to hang out there and see what gives and lick their chops about the night that was. When we come back, we will hear from Mike Babcock, head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, after the loss. I think it'll be pretty quick playing all the goals. We always play all the calls. In Vegas, there was 9 of them. It took a little bit of time. This will be a little quicker. And Chris Johnston, we'll hear hockey headlines, but also we'll hear from Chris Johnston. He normally is back in studio on Saturdays, but here he is in Arizona tonight. So we'll check in for him because it was such a hyped, big-time anticipated game. But the hometown fans, who seemingly were outnumbered by the Toronto Maple Leaf fans, are the happy ones tonight as the Arizona Coyotes defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs 2-0. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Don't worry, we'll turn the lights off when we leave, but we're not done yet. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. What are those nights? Like we said, 7-1-1 heading into tonight's game. The Maple Leafs have been in their last 9 games and a 2-0 loss tonight to the Arizona Coyotes. It had this Hockey Night in Canada Saturday vibe. It's out there more and more with the Leafs having a great young team. The season, the optimism, it's weird to be so deflated, isn't it? It's not that they lost. It's just that it's such a clunker.
Yeah, and the worst thing about it, too, the Leafs fans that were in attendance, you know, cheap ticket night, couple dogs, couple pops for $99, bring your whole crew, and you got nothing to cheer about tonight. Absolutely nothing. So it was a bad investment.
Well, it's always fun night out, depending on your fans, but it would have been more fun in Colorado, more fun in Vegas for sure. And I bet you saw a few of those people made probably the Vegas Arizona part as well. Maybe made 2 of the games that way. Actually, the young girl that Mitch Marner thrilled so much on Valentine's Day, she was there with a big thank you.
Yeah, she was.
She probably should have stayed in Vegas the way her parents probably wish they would have after that. Anyway, that was a nice moment on Thursday. And then she was back on the glass side in the pregame warm-up with a thank you card for the puck and the selfie that she did the other day, which went viral, as it should. Okay, it's not a busy night. Taking a look at the games, the play-by-play action. Once again, Joe Bowen down for the count. He's doing well. It's just his voice, and you heard it in the Montreal. Tell you, the Leaf-Montreal game last week, and I was talking to Joe during it. I was down in Montreal for it, and you could hear his voice was ailing, and they played the overtime winner by John Tavares. And you can hear the overtime. Joe's voice is ailing. But when John Tavares scored, the old Bowen voice came. And that probably blew it out. He absolutely gave the call. So anyway, Todd Crocker had been filling in, and Jim Ralph as usual. So no score. They didn't have any work to do on goals in the first period. The period ended in a 0-0 tie, but a sign of things to come. 11-4, the Maple Leafs were outshot. Only 4 shots on goal for the Maple Leafs. That kind of set the tone for the type of game it was going to be. And then early in the second period, it's the Coyotes who strike.
Long shot off into the glass. Tipped that way. Is a good stick in the lane. And now tripped up out front. It'll finally come to the blue line. And again, the Coyotes side of the goal scores Galchenyuk. And you can almost feel it coming.
Yeah, and when you hear that line at the blue line and you don't hear out on the blue line, that is part of it. It's the 3:19 mark. Galchenyuk is 13th from Osterley.
Yeah, I mean, this was bound to happen. The Coyotes were all over the Leafs in this situation here. No one can clear the zone. Finally, Ron Hainsey gets the last poke at it, last stab at it, should I say. And Osterley gets to the point, heads-up play, headsy play, hits Galchenyuk backdoor. And what a gifted hockey player this is, able to tip this top shelf. Really a beauty goal by the Coyotes.
Yeah, and you know, something that Galchenyuk, Max Domi trade, because certainly the Montreal Canadiens seemed to get the big-time edge in that trade early on. Galchenyuk, though, a few injuries in that, but now with 13 goals, he's starting to come into form in Arizona.
Yeah, I've always liked this player, Gord, very highly skilled. Under the tough lights in Montreal, really didn't have an opportunity. And thank goodness for Max Domi to get off to a great start in Montreal, or he would have had no opportunity. So, Galchenyuk, a little bit of life here in Phoenix, in Arizona or whatever, the Coyotes, and seems to have found his game.
Yeah, I think we can go either. We'll go Arizona. It's in Phoenix, but Arizona, yeah, it's in Glendale.
It's a mess.
So you're trying to get the whole state.
It's messy.
Yeah, it's messy, but we'll plod through. What was messy was the game tonight. So down 1-0. Okay, can the Leafs come back? Well, no, it's just a little over 2 minutes later.
Jarmelson sends it around again. Gardner trying to hold off his man and move it along the boards. A couple of Coyotes there convince him to do otherwise. Turnaround shot, stepping. There's a chance in right away. Archibald hops on it and knocks it home. And suddenly the Coyotes are up 2-0.
Yeah, talk about the play there. Josh Archibald, he had a great, it was a shorthanded opportunity, but a breakaway in the first period. And when Arizona dominated but couldn't score, and now he puts Arizona up 2-0. It's his seventh of the year from Derek Stepan and Kraus at the 5:59 mark.
And that was it. And this Archibald looks like a bit of a hockey player himself. He had a nice snipe there. And, you know, really, that was the story of the game right there. I mean, Arizona, they didn't play great. They just played good enough to win. And unfortunately, you know, Freddie really needed to get a shutout here for them to have an opportunity, and he couldn't do that.
Well, it's 2-0, and that's going to hold up for the period. Shots on goal, 8-7. Arizona outshoots the Maple Leafs in that period. And the Leafs only had like one shot the first 10 minutes. So they really had only five shots on net in the first 30 minutes of the game.
Yeah, like, I don't know what else to say. It was a lackluster effort. Mike Babcock's obviously going to just toss the video in the trash here. There's nothing really to look at from this game. Boys get another night in Arizona, I believe. That's what we heard on the radio.
Yeah.
And obviously they'll stay there and have a practice tomorrow and maybe stay away from the Matthews household for that great recipe we're dying to know about. And find their legs again.
Maybe she'll just have a Spartan meal this time. You know, just someone they drop by. Yeah, just, you know, some water and other things like that. It just had
water's expensive in Arizona.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Third period of play, 10-10. Shots on goal, even. So the game ends 2-0 for the Arizona Coyotes over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Shots on goal, 29-21. That's the way it was. Let's hear from Mike Babcock, head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, after the 2-0 loss to the Arizona Coyotes.
Mike, you mentioned this morning the way they play. They came as advertised. You prepare for it, but it's still tough to play against.
Well, I thought we came out. I thought we started real good. We owned the puck for 8 straight minutes. That was it for the night. The next 52 were theirs. They played harder. They were above the puck. They did things right. They did exactly what we said they were going to do, and we created a plan to have success against them. We didn't work hard enough to make that happen. Well, I thought we started good.
Right.
I thought we started good, but the bottom line is when they did it right, we didn't stick with it, and in the end, you can't win. So, you know, obviously, we've been playing real well, so that's disappointing. You got to give them credit. I thought Tuck did a good job and had his team organized. I mean, they did exactly what we told our guys they were going to do. In the end, we didn't execute at a high enough level and work at a high enough level to have success tonight.
Role do you think maybe fatigue plays in a performance like this with all the travel and games recently?
No.
What else? Tonight aside, tonight aside, you've managed to put up a great deal of points in the last 2 weeks.
No,
or so.
We've played well. We've played well. We've played well on this road trip. I like the way we played. We played with good energy, good detail, good work ethic. We just weren't as good tonight. The sun's going to get up tomorrow, and we're going to get back to work because obviously I don't think anybody you interviewed tonight could have been feeling that good about it.
Austin Matthews coming home. We talked about him over the last couple of years. When he comes back here, what are some of the qualities he gives you off the ice?
Well, I think he's a real good person. You know, I don't know if you met his mom and dad and his family. They're real good people. I think it's a real good thing for Arizona. Obviously, one of their native sons comes home, and not only is he a real good player, he's a real good person. I mean, our team wasn't good tonight, obviously, so that'll be disappointing for him. He's probably got a huge contingent there and would like to be there celebrating with him, but you always feel the same after a loss, so we should feel like we feel.
Good for the guys. Might have a good day off tomorrow with their heads a bit.
Well, I mean, there's no reason you want to take advantage of it. We're here in a good spot. Enjoy that. We're going into St. Louis. They're playing real well. We're obviously going to have to be prepared.
Are you satisfied with the explanation on the Nylander goal that turned over?
Well, this is what I know in life. When you don't do more than we did tonight, it never goes your way. So don't worry about it and move on.
I just meant to ask you, sorry, just before the game, about Johnson, any updating him at all today?
What? Johnson. I didn't get an update on him today, but I saw him howling, and about noon today, he was laughing and joking around. I thought life must be all right.
Well, Mike Babcock, you would have thought the Leafs won. Listen to him. He's got all the lines. Pull them out. I like the one about William Nylander's goal. Yeah, you know what? When you play the way you do, you don't get the breaks. You don't deserve the breaks. And that was it, him talking after tonight's loss.
Yeah, he really didn't have much to say. He's happy with the way his team's been playing, and it just sounded like what I said. Gordy's just going to toss this one out and move on from here because his team has been playing some great hockey of late, 7-1-1, I believe, and that makes it 7-2-1 in their last 10, sorry.
Very good.
See, I was trying good to catch. See if you caught me there. I caught myself. But anyway, so they'll move on to the next game. They're going to get a good rest night here in Phoenix, and I'm sure the boys will have a little bit of fun tonight and shake it off and be ready to go the rest of this trip because they got a tough chore ahead facing those St. Louis Blues next.
Yeah, and one thing, of course, it's 2 hours earlier, so you finish, and, you know, as far as the night to whether spend with family or have some fun, it is out there, but not a fun game, and Chris Johnston covers them all for Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. He joins us on Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. And, you know, Chris, it seems like both, you know, Jim Ralph mentioned on the broadcast, Mike Babcock mentioned it there, that, boy, the building was electric, everything was great, and the first whatever number of minutes, it looked like the Leafs might just kill in this game, and then it was a very different game for 50 plus minutes.
Yeah, it did feel that way just because the team's been playing pretty well lately too. So when you couple that with the hot start and getting some opportunities, it looked like it could be Toronto's night. But you know, this was probably outside that last 4 minutes when they did make a little bit of a push. The weakest offensive effort we've seen from the Leafs this season, just in terms of generating opportunities and having scoring chances. They didn't get much scoring on the couple power plays that they had, and it was tough. I mean, give the Coyotes credit. They remind me a little bit of the Canadiens and how they really pressure teams. You know, not a lot of star power right now in that Coyotes lineup, but those guys worked hard and played very very controlled and disciplined and didn't give Toronto very much.
For the fans at home out there, how was the atmosphere down there? It certainly looked like there was a lot of Leafs fans in the house, and it didn't have a lot to cheer about, but was it a pretty good atmosphere?
Yeah, it feels like the last two games, this one in Vegas, even by normal Leafs standards. I mean, look, there's always a ton of Leaf fans on the road, but these last two games has been something special. I'm guessing a lot of people saw the chance to come to some nice climate places in February when the schedule came out and plan their vacations around it. Certainly chatted with some people on the plane and that between the games. And this was more than half and half. It was even higher than that in terms of the number of Leaf fans here. And, you know, unfortunately for them, wasn't the best game for their team.
Was it a sellout tonight?
Yep, they announced a sellout. And that's something they're getting a lot of. They're 29th in attendance season.
So, like, do you know, would that be their first this season?
That I don't know. I believe it might be, but don't quote me on that.
No, won't quote you, but you certainly can write for yourself on sportsnet.ca. We catch that all the time. I don't know if Savvy knows as much, but in all honesty, Chris is a guy that's been on top of the whole covering the Auston Matthews situation for a long time, about knowing he, just such a great story. And it must be neat because you've gone down, you've done features with him in Arizona and all that, that having the sellout tonight, and never mind the buzz, the excitement of Hockey Night in Canada and that, but man, oh man, to have that guy be the number one player 1 year and then a sellout crowd when he goes back, and just that kind of original six-team ambiance heading there is really something you never would have thought about years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool, right? There haven't been that many players that truly were born and raised in this area that have gone on to make the NHL, and the fact that the one guy who has is one of the premier players in the league and a star on the Maple Leafs, and someone who's so proud to be from here and always talks about what role his family and the people that he grew up with here played in his development. It does make they're a little bit extra. I've done the three games now that Austin's played down here in Arizona, and even tonight after the loss, when we spoke to him, you could tell it still means something to him, even after a difficult outcome. It's still a special game for him every time he comes back here. And looking in the hallway afterwards, there was about 20 to 30 people all in Matthew sweaters waiting to greet him outside the dressing room. So, it's a game where a lot of his family and friends come out and have a chance to watch him play firsthand. And it's a really unique story. And I really think that, in speaking to some people, that Arizona hockey is actually coming on a little bit, and that they've seen participation rates really spike here the last few years. And, Auston Matthews might be the first from this region to play in a league, but, in time, I think we're going to see others come behind him.
Yeah, for sure. And it sounded pretty Mike Babcock's post-game presser was kind of, we got a little chuckle here, and especially when he talked about Johnsson at the end, that he was laughing and yelling and jumping around at the end. So any word on him and what's his status?
Well, there's no official word, but, I even saw him too myself, and I have to say it seems quite possible or likely even that we're going to see him play Tuesday in St. Louis. I think it was more a scare than anything, taking the hit he did from that game in Vegas. And, he was doing some off-ice workouts today. And we'll see if he's able to practice Monday. That's where we'll get our firm indication when he's back. But, I think this was a fortunate outcome, I guess you could say, because it didn't look good when we saw him down there after taking that hit from Braden McNabb hobbling down the tunnel. But it doesn't have the feel that he's going to be out too much longer.
Chris Johnson joining us from Arizona. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard, a 2-0 win for the Arizona Coyotes over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Savvy kind of put a fun tweet out there, and you heard Babcock quickly be dismissive about Nylander's non-goal just because of the effort the Leafs put in play. But Savvy's tweet just was, that's the way it's gone from Willie Nylander. That was a great exhibition of skill and hand-eye coordination in the one goal that almost was.
Yeah, this is crazy. I was able to pull that puck out of the air and get enough force on it to have a brush off his shoulder and in. And it was a strange call. Yeah, it's impossible, I think, on video to truly tell if that's over the bar. And, the fact that they said the ruling on the ice was high stick, it was a tough one. And, I kind of got the feeling that Mike Babcock probably didn't agree with the call. But, as he was saying, it wasn't a game where they deserved to win. I don't think he wanted to make any excuses or have that, become more of a story than it needs to be. But, I think Nylander as a whole has really come on. Even tonight, he had a few, nice moments in the game, and wasn't one with a lot of great offensive plays for the Leafs, but, that was probably the best. And, I think that the team has to feel really good in general, but where William Nylander's at now, I don't think there's any issues with his skating, his confidence. To me, he looks a lot like the guy that earned that contract he signed on December 1st.
I'm going to put you on the spot really quickly here. I have to do the hardest working Leaf tonight, and I can't really name one, so I'm going to ask you to name who you think is the hardest working Leaf of the night.
Let's go with Freddie Anderson. He took that one shot up in the neck area, said it knocked the wind out of him in the first period on the one-timer from the point, and his teammates made him do more than more than they'd like. You know, certainly after a dominant game in Vegas, more pucks in his area and more time in the offensive zone. So it's a tough one to pick, but maybe the goalie deserves it tonight.
Perfect. Okay, Savvy, if you don't want to do it, we could get Chris to do it every game, okay? You know what, just I thought...
He's scouting for me. I got him out on a scouting trip.
What, you're subcontracting the direct energy
yes,
hardest
I am.
Working
I
leaf?
Am.
Okay. Well, Chris is busy enough, and actually Savvy will be busy on trade deadline day in a different role on Sportsnet. You and guys like Chris Johnson, Elliot Friedman will be big in getting the inner workings, what's going on with teams. So, boy, the Edmonton Oilers just... Ugh. Anyway, never mind about the oof, but... Cam Talbot's making $4.2 million. He goes to Philadelphia. Anthony Stolar's making under $1 million. So they swap goaltenders. And also Sam Gagne in second year of a three-year deal in the minors right now, $3-plus million, but a guy that was a first-round pick of theirs. So, I mean, you gotta try things. And obviously, I guess Talbot for the Flyers is one thing. They wanted to get some depth and goal.
Yeah, and, you know, I think I like actually both these moves for Edmonton. The Talbot move frees up some cap space for them, which they're going to need because Andre Secker is ready to come back from a conditioning loan after his long injury absence in the AHL. So, you know, now they're able to play him for next season, or sorry, next week. And you know, I think Sam Gagne is a good buy low candidate for the Oilers. I mean, look, where do they need help most in their team? It's on the wings. He's someone I think that can be used as he has in the past as a power play specialist. And, you know, to give up Ryan Spooner, I mean, let's face it, that trade has not worked out at all since Spooner came over earlier this year for Ryan Strome from the Rangers. And so, you know, they're able to get their cap in a little better working order, get a chance to see Anthony Stolarz a bit and see maybe if he's got a future as one of their goaltenders next season, and also get Sam Gagne back, a player they drafted many years ago. And, you know, I still think we'll be pretty motivated as he arrives there because, you know, the scouting reports from his times with the Marlies this year was that he's still looking pretty good. So, you know, I think that there are some sensible moves from Edmonton. You know, Philly in bringing on Cam Talbot, he's someone who has a history with Carter Hart. They've worked out in the past together, and I think they want to stabilize things around their young goaltender. So, you know, we're starting to get some action, and I think it's going to be a busy week now with, you know, the likes of Matt Duchene and Mark Stone on the market from Ottawa and potentially Artemi Panarin. I mean, we could see some big trades here as we get to the final week before the deadline.
Yeah, I definitely think we're going to see some big moves this year for sure. Two-part kind of question. What moves do you still think the Leafs might make, and have you heard anything lately? And the other one is, I wouldn't be surprised if the Leafs maybe do their rookie dinner on this trip, if you maybe heard any rumblings of that.
I heard rumblings it's happening tonight. The rookie dinner, but so far those reports are unconfirmed, but I do believe they're doing their little rookie party tonight. That they have tomorrow off here in Arizona, kind of unusual. They're then practicing Monday morning here before flying to St. Louis. So, you know, I do think it's a good time in the schedule for them. And, you know, even though tonight's game was a bit of a dud, they played pretty well of late, and you know, getting some team bonding time might not be the worst thing at this time of year. You know, as for the deadline, it's tough to know. Yeah, my sense is, Savvy, that the Leafs aren't really going to be that active. I mean, Kyle Dubas keeps the cards pretty close to the vest. It's always possible that he's got something big up his sleeve that he's, you know, managed to keep pretty quiet. But, you know, my sense is they're not in a position where they want to give up more draft picks, or at least high picks, after already trading their first rounder to LA for Jake Muzzin. And, you know, some of their other players, like the two defensemen, they have prospects, Sandin and Liljegren, and the two young forwards, and Kapanen and Janssen, all on the lineup. I don't think they have much appetite to deal those pieces, and that's what it's going to take to make the sort of move that gets people excited. So I think Kyle Dubas made his move with Jake Muzzin. We might see some minor tinkering between now and the 25th, but, you know, I don't get any feeling that anything big is coming here for the Leafs.
Just while I'm picking up, when I heard you on the Good Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan the other afternoon, and there's quite an obsession almost about the right-handed shot defenseman. And, so I'm just saying, well, then afterwards, Bob McCowan was dissenting about the obsession about it. But Mike Babcock's always been big on this, but this became big when Mike Babcock coached the Canadian Olympic team and could pick whomever he wanted, you know, as far as it went. Like, so is this just something that would be nice versus an obsession or whatever? What would you term it from the Toronto Maple Leaf landscape, how they're looking at it?
I think it would be nice, But we have to remember, I mean, hockey as a sport isn't a game of perfect, and roster construction in a salary cap world is certainly not perfect. And you know, I just think the Leafs are not going to solve that quote-unquote problem this season. I mean, even if they go out and get another right shot, which is possible, you know, there's some depth guys. You know, I don't see them making an impact kind of trade. Someone who we would say definitively should be playing on the right with Morgan Riley on the top pairing in big games. So, you know, it's taken on a life of its own. I feel like on that appearance earlier this week, I got dragged into a long, long lefty-righty conversation. And it's true, the coach would like that, but I'm sure there's other things he'd like too. And like a lot of coaches around the league, his GM isn't always able to give him the exact pieces, the exact roster that he wants. But, you know, this Leafs roster is still pretty good. Their forward group is as deep as any in the league. Freddie Anderson's had a great season. I think that the blue line got better with Jake Muzzin's addition. And, you know, more than likely, I don't think that the savior for the right shot top pairing is going to walk through that door, you know, in the next week in a couple days. You know, maybe in the summer there's a trade, or maybe over time if someone like Timothy Liljegren becomes that guy. But, you know, in the end, I think you're just going to have to make do with what they got.
If you're looking for a great place to eat tonight, head over to the Ocean Club, and you might even run into the team at the rookie party. I can maybe guarantee that. So you're going to need your rest here in the next couple of weeks. You're going to be a busy man.
Funny you say that. Biz Nasty was telling me to go to that same place. So the word is out on the Ocean Club.
Okay, and you know where to get Savvy if you need to post bail, okay?
I'm going to text him later.
Okay, sounds good. Hey, Chris, thanks very much as always. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Chris Johnston, normally in studios for Hockey Night in Canada Saturdays, but joining the team and joining us from Glendale out in Arizona, the Arizona Coyotes 2-0 winners over the Toronto Maple Leafs. And
I want to bring you down to Arizona.
No, it sounds good.
For that Ocean Club?
Yeah.
Gord, you haven't had a better meal in your life.
Okay.
It's one of those places too, like, you know, like the Ruth Chris with the plate just steaming. This plate is so hot, you can recook your steak in it if you want. I just had it when I was down there on my family vacation.
Yeah.
And I put the creamy spinach on the plate, and it was bubbling. Oh my goodness. Anyways, yeah. I don't want to get – I'm drooling, you're drooling.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Yeah, well, the other part is – the hardest working Leaf. So obviously you're not the hardest working Leaf broadcaster.
I'm going to go with what my scout said, but
because,
go ahead.
Because you already deferred – you've subcontracted this out to Chris Johnston. Normally it's done by Savvy alone, but the hardest working Leaf – brought to you by Direct Energy Business, providing energy solutions for Canadian businesses. And we've kidded a lot of games. It's hard to pick one because there's so many. And this one, man, it was just like they couldn't get their legs going. It was just really. So I want to hear.
It was hard to pick one because there was really none. But I'm going to go with my head scout.
Yep.
And I'm going to go with Frederick Anderson with a 27 save performance. And he took that one in the looked like the collarbone early, but was able to bounce back. And really, if it wasn't for him, he kind of gave his team a chance to win this hockey game, but they couldn't get anything going offensively tonight. And what I'm going to do with these stats is what Mike Babcock's going to do with his his video tonight, and we're just going to chuck it out.
Yeah, well, for very, very enlightened pick, Freddie Anderson is the hardest working Leaf. So we all
Direct
appreciate
energy,
the great
hardest working Leaf.
Yeah, the great work you put into that. The hardest working Leaf brought to you by Direct Energy Business, providing energy solutions for Canadian businesses. And Freddie Anderson gets that on a night, where there really weren't all hands on deck. Give the Arizona Coyotes some credit. Of course, next game, they'll wrap up this 6-game, 12-day road trip in St. Louis on Tuesday. We'll be there right after the game for Leafs Nation post-game as well. We do it for all 82 games here at Sportsnet 590, The Fan. 2-0, the Arizona Coyotes defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation post-game, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
You think you have a lot to say about that game? You should hear these guys. This is the Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Two nothing. The Arizona Coyotes defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. It was not a classic Hockey Night in Canada type game, despite the expectations. The Maple Leafs came out strong in the first, you pick it, 6 to 8 minutes, whatever it may be, but then it was all Arizona after that. As we welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard with you on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. You ready for kind of a double dose of our good friend Chris Johnson?
Yeah, I am. I always enjoy listening to Chris, and he's on a great scouting trip for me, so he did well tonight.
Yeah, he helped you pick the hardest working leaf by Direct Energy Home Services, and he was brought in via satellite. Normally, he's in the Hockey Night in Canada studios in Toronto, but he's doing the whole trip, this one. So he is in via satellite, but it's the usual suspects at the studio: Ron McLean, Nick Kyprios, and Elliot Freeman for Hockey Headlines.
Chris Johnson does join us from beautiful Arizona. We get going here 9 days until the trade deadline, guys. All eyes on Ottawa, Elliot.
Well, if you're watching the Ottawa-Winnipeg game tonight, you've heard the Winnipeg fans chant, "We want Stone," during that game tonight. Well, not so fast. The word in the past couple of days is both the Senators and Stone's representatives from Newport have re-engaged, and they're trying to see if they can find a common ground to extend the player. That does not appear to be the case right now. However, for Matt Duchene, the word around the league is that Ottawa has quietly begun to put his name out there, see what the offers are, and they're testing the market on number 95.
Yeah, and Elliot, as far as Stone is concerned, and Newport, structure and signing bonus continue to be an issue. We saw a guy like Matthews get up to 94% all-in signing bonus. I don't think Eugene Melnyk needs to go there, but certainly he has to be in the ballpark of what is acceptable for these superstars in today's market.
All right, and Chris Johnston, a little bit more on Stone.
Yes, a team that's been widely linked to Mark Stone, at least if he ends up being traded, is the Vegas Golden Knights. But I can tell you guys, after being in Vegas earlier this week, I don't get the sense at all that this is an organization in the rental market at all at the trade deadline. It might be a different circumstance if Mark Stone becomes an unrestricted free agent on July 1st. But you know, at this time, I don't see them as a potential trade partner should the Ottawa Senators elect to move this player. You know, meanwhile, here in Arizona, the number one piece of business that the Toronto Maple Leafs are worrying about is some amateur scouting meetings that are going on here in Scottsdale. But Kyle Dubas does have a number of balls in the air. Next week, Marcus Lehto, the representative for Kasperi Kapanen, will be in Toronto once the Leafs get back from this six-game road trip they're on. And I think there will be some preliminary talks on where he stands with the Leafs. You know, it wasn't an official meeting to have a contract discussion, but I do believe the Leafs would like to get Kasperi Kapanen's extension done sooner than later, if at all possible. And so we'll see if there's any traction after that meeting next week.
All right, CJ. Nick, what about the latest on James Neal?
Yeah, no official word in terms of the injury out of the Calgary Flames, but there is concern that it may be longer than they had hoped. And we'll see. He is going to be reevaluated this weekend, and early next week they should have some idea what they're dealing with. The Calgary Flames, I think, going into the trade deadline, their first priority maybe would have been around getting veteran presence on the blue line. They've used four defensemen age 22 or younger throughout the season, so maybe they were looking in that aspect of beefing up the blue line. But we also know that they've been linked to a few forwards. There is talk out there of Stone also being involved, Zuccarello. Mm. And you just wonder, if they get news that James Neal will be out an extended period of time, does that make them much more aggressive going into the last 9 days here?
Meanwhile, in Edmonton, Nick.
Yeah, Puljujärvi. Lots of talk about Puljujärvi, including the fact that they may be willing to trade him. I think that's highly unlikely. There's no question right now that his value as a player that went fourth overall in 2016 is at an all-time low. I think we're more apt to see him down in Bakersfield. Jay Woodcroft has done an outstanding job there as a head coach. He's won 14 games in a row. And the feeling is, at just a young age of 20 years old, get him into a positive environment, and that seems to be now the American Hockey League, to help his progress get restarted.
I think one thing, though, about that, Nick, is that I think the player might want to go. So Edmonton has a bridge they have to build.
They won't give him away, though. That's the issue, Elliot. The value isn't there.
Hitch,
yes. Listen, he's certainly made a lot of noise in terms of the way he's challenged his players. I think it's been noted within the organization. My understanding is they've addressed it. They'd like to be a lot more positive, not only publicly, but behind closed doors in the dressing room, if he's to remain behind the bench the next 24 games. And if not, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see them go to a guy like Glenn Gullitzen the rest of the season.
Just a quick note, Dallas losing 2-0 Carolina after one. I think they're in the Panarin-Zuccarello market too.
Chris Johnston, quickly, Motown, what's happening here?
Well, a name to watch is Gustav Nyquist. He's having a career season, 15 goals to this point. The Wings have to work with him. He has a full no trade clause. There's some interest out there in him, but it remains unclear as of this time if he's willing to waive or where he might waive it to.
Thank you, CJ. It's going to be a fun 9 days. That much we know for sure.
Yeah, a lot of meat there. Of course, that's David Amber, Ron McLean, part of the Hockey Day festivities tomorrow. So had to go a day early. So David Amber, along with Nick Kyprios and Elliot Friedman and our man Chris Johnston, who joined us earlier from Arizona. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard back at it. Leafs Nation postgame 2-0 win for Arizona over the Toronto Maple Leafs. And you talked about it earlier, just hearing some Mark Stone vibes to Winnipeg and the crowd chanting his name in Winnipeg tonight. I mean, last year Winnipeg went out and got Paul Stastny, and it's no secret they got a hit while they're hot. And whether it's Duchesne or Stone or not or whomever out there, they're going to be a buyer. And that was an interesting one. You're getting a sense, too, that there is some smoke and could be some fire.
Yeah, I really am. And from what I've heard a little bit about, that is his destination for Mark Stone if the Ottawa Senators can't get a deal with him. And it seems like they are throwing, you know, the bank at them per se in Ottawa, but it's about signing bonuses and stuff like that. And I don't know if Eugene Melnyk will want to put that money up front, Gord. So it'll be interesting the next few days, but you know, they could use another center in Winnipeg though, at the end of the day too. So Matt Duchesne could be the, you know, the number two answer there in Winnipeg right now.
Yeah. And of course the whole thing, Austin Matthews contract and that getting about 94% signing bonus. John Tavares was similar. There's limitations what you can do with the cap situation, but you can get bonus money. You can load it that way. A lot of teams don't want to do it. A number of teams really can't afford to do that. So that is something that works in the Leafs' favor, but also handcuffs some of the other organizations out there.
Yeah, it really does. And like we're saying, Ottawa's a prime example where Melnyk doesn't want to give a guy $13 million before the season even starts or whatever it may be. And that's why Mark Stone might have a tough time re-signing in Ottawa. So it'll be interesting moving forward. This is going to be an exciting trade deadline day, finally, I think, Gord. I think every station has been waiting for this kind of a day, and it looks like if they can hold off for another couple days, we might get that day.
Yeah, and if, as Elliot said, Matt Duchesne's in play now, then you'll find out probably the next couple of days because it seems like he is the first domino a lot of teams are waiting to see fall before they go somewhere else. So anyway, great catching up, as we always do Saturday on Hockey Headlines. And why not we get this into a very busy night in the out-of-town scoreboard. So we'll do that when we come back. There's 12 games in all. Everything, of course, has playoff implications. A lot of it is trade deadline implications in the short term, so we'll cover that one. The one out-of-town score that wasn't good in Leaf Nation world was a 2-0 win for the Arizona Coyotes over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
After a meal like that, you deserve a little dessert. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Mark Savard, Gord Stelic, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Notice I used your name first there just to mix things up a little bit, Savvy. You know, want to know you're appreciated.
You might have mixed yourself up a little bit.
No, I'm not mixed up. Never.
Never.
Never, never. Never. As we go over the, by the way, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, a 2-0 shutout. Darcy Kemper's second shutout of the season, 14th of his career, and not a great night for the Maple Leafs on what's been a great road trip and a great stretch for them of late. And we mentioned a lot of games on the out-of-town scoreboard, Savvy, and I'll go through them all, and then you can, you know, break down a little bit what you want to talk about a bit. So first, some finals. This afternoon, Philadelphia Flyers saw a 5-1 lead dissipate, but then they came back, won 6-5 in overtime. They salvaged it. Overtime went over the Detroit Red Wings. Calgary beats Pittsburgh 5-4. A lot of physicality in that game. The St. Louis juggernaut keeps going as the Avalanche keeps sliding. A 3-0 shutout. It was Jake Allen, right, in goal for the St. Louis Blues. 3-0 shutout over the Colorado Avalanche. The Ottawa Senators, 4-3 overtime win in Winnipeg. The Winnipeg Jet fans yelling, "We want Stone," apparently, in that one. Montreal and Tampa Bay. Boy, the Tampa Bay Lightning, you talk about a juggernaut. Oh, my Lord, they're just a phenomenal team. Phenomenal season. They're having a season like the Golden State Warriors had in the NBA a couple of years ago. A 3-0 shutout for them over the Montreal Canadiens. New York Islanders 5-2 over Edmonton. Boy, oh, boy, good on the Islanders. What is going on in Edmonton? We heard them talk about it a lot during Hockey Headlines. And Carolina, a 3-0 shutout over the Dallas Stars. That's a home game. What did they do tonight? Did they the walk-off home run yesterday, I think. Did you like the walk-off home run?
I did enjoy the walk-off home run because Duck Duck Goose totally hurt my feelings.
That was a tough one.
It was a tough one to watch.
They did a bowling one. They've done a few. But anyway, they win at home.
I like the homer.
Games going on right now. Columbus, 4-2 lead over the Chicago Blackhawks. 1-1 tie between Vancouver and San Jose. That's in the first. Columbus and Chicago's in the third, by the way. And Nashville and Vegas, no score in the first period there. Boston and L.A. will start right around now. They'll have puck drop.
But they're 20 seconds in, actually.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. Anything happen?
No.
Okay.
No.
What about the other games that caught your eye in the
minigames? Well, as I look around the board here, obviously that Ottawa win over Winnipeg in Winnipeg tonight. Patrick Laine, Gord, I don't know what's going on there. They should take his Xbox away from him and lock it up, or his PlayStation, whatever he's on, because I think he's spending way too much time on the video games. And Tampa Bay, I mean, what else can you say about this team? How do you not give John Cooper, the Jack Adams? I mean, this guy has just taken this team and just guided them. And I know they got great players, Hipty Haw, but you know what? This record speaks for itself.
Sorry, great players, Hipty Haw. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. What does Hipty Haw mean?
It's just something I threw in there.
Oh, it's a good one. Okay.
Okay. You don't use it. Don't use it. That's my line.
Is that your scouting
report?
It's like
Holy Mackinac. It's my Hipty Haw.
Mark Savard scouting thing. Hipty Haw. Number 15, okay. Hipty Haw. Okay.
And then the Edmonton Oilers, another loss to the New York Islanders. I mean, that's a great hockey club they're playing, but I would not be surprised from what I heard on hockey headlines that maybe Ken Hitchcock gets let go any day now.
Well, they're talking about he is a tough, demanding coach, okay? We all know that. And, if they're saying they want him to be more positive, then it's kind of late, right?
It's kind of late, but how do you let him run this team to the ground in the last 20 games of the year, 25 games of the year? Why not let a Glenn Gullickson take over and give him an opportunity to maybe put some kind of life in these guys? Because it obviously had just sucked the life out of them.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find Patrick Laine's ice time. He didn't get
14 minutes.
14 minutes, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sliding there as he gets two shots on net, no points that way. Well, and you know, Keith Gretzky, part of what happened as well was you heard them talk about Puljujarvi, the fourth overall pick a couple of years ago. And so a meeting with Keith Gretzky and Puljujarvi's agent, and, you know, basically they're kind of agreeing he should go back to the American Hockey League. Like, it's such – this is what Bob Murray's saying in Anaheim. He goes, I took over as coach and general manager because – I want to find out what the hell the environment is here. I don't want to call up my young prospects to play in a horrible, toxic environment right now. The Leafs went through that a few years ago. It was a toxic environment when the Kessels and Phaneufs and Bozaks and Kadrys and Riley and Gardner and other, you know, and it changed. And to those guys' credit, they changed it. But losing quite often will do that.
I've seen those environments, you know, firsthand.
Yeah.
And I went through one in Atlanta. When I came into Atlanta, it was a – you know, and no disrespect to anybody, Don Waddell, you know, the general manager, wasn't inside the locker room every day. And we had Kurt Fraser as our coach when I came in. You remember Kurt Fraser?
Yeah.
And I walked in there, Gord, from Calgary, you know, where we had, you know, somewhat of an organization that had an organized group. And I went in there and I couldn't believe what was going on in that dressing room. And like, again, no disrespect to Don Waddell. He was a general manager, so he wasn't in there every day. But really, the kids were running the team. Kovalchuk, Heatley, they ran the hockey team. And I was just amazed to see that. But then when Bob Hartley took over, he put stability back into that franchise. And then they slowly got their feet under them a little bit. But, yeah, there are some toxic situations where you don't want to have the kids around. And that's Edmonton right now. And the best thing for Puljujarvi is to go down to Bakersfield and Yamato. I don't think that's right either, but I love it. Anyway, he's down in Bakersfield as well, and they've won 14 straight down there. So why not put him in that good environment, be positive, and let them get back on their winning ways?
Okay, so I'm just doing, okay, quick thing. You know, you got all the...
If you need quick math, don't ask me.
Okay, so I'm going to look up the standings again. So let me get this straight. The Carolina Hurricanes have passed the Pittsburgh Penguins for the wild card spot?
Have they?
Well, I got here as of before, so let's just quickly look it up. But I got Pittsburgh lost today. Carolina was 1 point behind them, and Carolina won today.
Yeah.
So, wow. I mean, it's sort of been the unthinkable in the Eastern Conference. We've talked about the West, that the logjam they've had there. But how about that in the East as far as teams like Carolina and Philadelphia have really made the push? No, nobody's really been sinking except maybe the Buffalo Sabres, you know, from those big nine.
Poor Buffalo Sabres. And you got that little proud face going tonight. You brought your newspaper in here, which I don't even know if I've ever picked up a newspaper. The only thing I've done is drive over newspapers that lay in my laneway now. I don't even grab them, but you're so proud you got your little newspaper.
Yeah, I
newspaper.
Support the boys. Yeah, I support
back,
the boys
you're
and
still
girls,
supporting
the men and women.
Me, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. He's still bringing his newspaper in every day, and he's got his little coffee from the corner store that he always goes to. He's just a very, what's the word?
Happening guy.
Yeah, no, like a very honest, good working man.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And the Carolina Hurricanes, okay.
Have passed them?
Yeah, they're not even the wild card. They're third place in the Metropolitan Division.
Wow.
They're third place in the Metropolitan Division right now. I mean, that's by passing Pittsburgh. So as of today, Pittsburgh is the ninth seed. They're not in the playoffs as of today.
You know, Carolina's going to have to hire a skit guy, you know, like a full-time guy that does
a choreographer skits. Choreographer, yeah, creative assistant.
They got to, you know, because they got to be running out of stuff themselves.
Well, you mentioned Duck Duck Goose when they did that as a celebration was kind of a monumental moment. And I forget chatting with a few players. Who did I chat with? We had Jordan Martinook on once.
Okay.
And he talked about, there's one or two he didn't like, but they all got one in the back there that they got to, you know, they want to bring up at certain times. Cause he said that.
Okay.
The well's running dry. The owner loves this. Okay. They know the owner loves this. Whether it's controversy or not, Brian Burke has said, I don't know if he's changed his opinion, but he didn't like it. He thinks it's Mickey Mouse, Bush League. Shouldn't put words in Brian's mouth, but something like that. And all I know is having worked for an interesting owner like Harold Ballard, but whoever your boss is your boss. Okay, so if Tom Dundon likes it and you're with the Carolina Hurricanes,
you make Tom Dundon
then you
happy.
Like it. Then you like it.
Yeah,
and they're happy with the wins as well. So that's a big one for Carolina Hurricanes.
But I did like the homer the other day. It'd be interesting to see what they went to tonight. I'm sure it's already out there on Twitter. But yeah, it's interesting. But honestly, they got to be getting dry and they got to be having someone come in and almost have a job of doing this now because it's their thing.
And again, we go back to the Calgary-Pittsburgh game. And it was Calgary had a big, Calgary had a 5-2 lead. Malkin scored twice in the third period to make it close. So Calgary hung on. And there was a lot of physicality in that game, too. Giordano looked like he got hurt. And you wonder, Jesus, another guy, much like Matt Dumba got hurt against the Calgary Flames, is another premier defenseman, going to be hurt this time, a Calgary defenseman, but he came back to play. So that was good to see. But that game had a lot of bite.
Yeah, it certainly did. And these are two good hockey teams. And you got to think, we all know that Jim Rutherford will not sit tight, Gord. When his team's struggling, he will pull.
And they're out of the playoffs.
And now they're out of the playoffs. So you got to think there's something up his sleeve. And it could be a monster because he loves to have three good centermen down the middle, and he has two of the best in the world, obviously. So I wouldn't be surprised if he dips in the Matt Duchene sweepstakes, even if it's only for a year, Gord, to finish out this year. He doesn't mind the rental at all.
Yeah. Well, we're going to hear from now many of the players involved. Of course, we'll keep you posted the games that are going on as well. Right now, 1-1, as we mentioned, Vancouver and San Jose catching that game. And Savvy will keep you up every 20-second block what's going on in the L.A. game as well. But we want to hear from Big Cactus, as Savvy calls him, and now a lot of people call him. Austin Matthews, not the night Big Cactus wanted. He did get four of the 21 shots, though. The Leafs only had 21 shots. He was their leading shooter with four of them. Was a minus one, 20 minutes, 41 seconds of ice time. So he did get Big Cactus-type ice time. Here he is after the 2-0 loss.
How limited was time and space as far as the players were concerned? It didn't look too good for where we watched it.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't much. I think, they had their game plan, we had ours, and we kind of just played right into theirs. They just sat back and let us kind of beat ourselves and make our mistakes, and they would come back the other way. So, I think we could have made a lot of adjustments in game. We just kind of kept doing the same thing over and over again, so they outworked us. And, you know, I think at times during the game, they definitely outsmarted us as well.
I know a loss is a loss, Austin, but we're disappointing for you given that this is the one trip home each season and this happens tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating for sure. You want to obviously you come back here and, for myself, definitely, you want to perform. You want to win the game most importantly. And, we really just didn't have it tonight. They outworked us in a lot of different areas and we really didn't have an answer.
How much of a factor was all the travel and the busy week of games, do you think?
Yeah, it's no excuse. We do this all the time. We're playing 4 and 6. This week, obviously, we should be used to it. It doesn't really matter the travel or, the amount of games. We do this all season, so there's really no excuse.
What are your thoughts about coming home here?
I love coming home here. It's home for me, so it's pretty special. The last couple of years have been pretty lucky. you know, to kind of spend multiple days here at home, whether it's during Christmas or this time of year where we got a couple days off. And so I love coming home.
Talk a little about the influence you've had on hockey here in Arizona.
Yeah, you know, it's special coming back here. Obviously, you just, you know, warm up to see all the signs, all the kids. You know, it's pretty humbling for me just to see, you know, still young, still, this is my third year in the NHL, and obviously the impact that I think I've had here in my hometown. It's pretty special, and it's extremely humbling. And like you said, Shane Doan, you guys are obviously retiring his number here in a couple of weeks. You played a big role in my early childhood and a guy that I looked up to quite a bit.
Austin Matthews, always very professional how he deals with things. And, yeah, not the kind of homecoming you want. I don't know what the question's about home. What is, it's kind of like, what does home mean to you kind of thing? I think it's pretty obvious for a lot of people. But, anyway, it's nice for a little bit to get home. I'm not sure if he, his family or someone, his mom or dad took time when he was a 19-year-old living here with him or not. Don't know. But it doesn't really matter. Just a very, very tight family. And obviously it's nice, and all the Austin Matthews jerseys, and he gets a sellout crowd. Like Chris Johnson said, there's not many. This may have been the first sellout in Arizona. They're 29th out of 31 teams in attendance. So he certainly does the best thing that for really a road player that he could do for the home team.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that that was their only sellout of the season. I don't really care who else comes to town, but Austin Matthews is the leading figure in the Arizona area, and good on them for coming down to support the Leafs and the Coyotes, which they haven't done often enough. But again, you know, one of these games, Gord, that himself, you know, he's upset. He wanted to do well in front of his family and friends. And, you know, they just laid an egg, basically. The team didn't have it tonight, and they've been playing some great hockey, but they are going to go out tonight and really enjoy themselves. I remember those rookie dinners. They're a lot of fun to be around. And what a great time to bond and have a couple waters together that might be spiked a little. But anyway, just to really enjoy yourself, tell some jokes, you know, and then the rookies front the bill, and away you go.
Well, that's the smart part, because the dumb initiations, and of course they've been very much in the news in a lot of places now, how things got out of hand and how things could be cruel, how things could be demeaning and humiliating. And I'm glad they got out of that a while ago. So you're right, you kind of run up the bill on the rookies in a fun way. This is when rookies hope they're not the only rookie on the team. It's nice if you have a few of them, but that'll be a fun night for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. Well, a 2-0 win for the Arizona Coyotes over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Leaf Nation road trip kind of catches a little bump on the road. We'll be back with more locally about the game tonight. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard, along with Sam McKee, Josh Santos. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Let our trained professionals help you come down from the high of the game here on the Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Again, all 82 Toronto Maple Leaf games. We do Leafs Nation postgame, the only station that does that. Some games are more fun for Leafs Nation, like it'd been in Colorado, like it was in Las Vegas. But tonight, the fifth game of a six-game road trip for the Maple Leafs is a 2-0 loss to the Arizona Coyotes. And we're going to hear from many of the players, a few of the players involved in tonight's game, but Mark Savard, the intrepid journalist, you came in and you said to me, you won't tell me what it's about, but apparently you say you have a scoop.
Gord, you're going to be disappointed, and I think we're going to get a little catch of it here on the TV in front of us, the monitor.
Okay.
The Canes did a celebration tonight that I didn't enjoy, and they put them right back off the page. So they had me they lost me with Duck Duck Goose. They brought me back with the home run, and tonight they did the limbo, Gord.
Oh, they did the limbo under the stick. Kind of blasé. We're talking of course, whenever they win.
I think it's time to hire a Sam McKee to come in there and do a post-game show properly.
Yeah. Sam, you couldn't do the limbo. You're like 6'8". We'd send Josh Santos under. I don't know, but Josh's center of gravity is like mine, too. I don't know. We'd have some. Yeah, it's So anyway, the Canes, I think most people know their owner started it, Tom Dundon, or encouraged it. So they do the clap, you know, which gets them going.
Yeah.
Well, you're wincing, but it gets them going. And then they have a creative kind of send off. It keeps everyone around.
So what I did also read too is Don Cherry had some harsh words tonight, and he'll probably get in trouble for them. But he had some words tonight about the Canes celebration post game. So I can't wait to hear those. If someone else can maybe catch those, that'll be interesting to hear.
Yeah. Well, Don. Yeah, Don's not afraid to be Don Cherry. So anyway, we'll if you want to catch that. And again, we did the out of town scores. We'll give the Carolina Hurricanes credit. They are in the playoffs as of tonight. They are in the playoffs. Unbelievably, the Pittsburgh Penguins just out of the playoffs, and the Philadelphia Flyers on this great stretch. They're 6 points out of the playoffs. That just shows how far they had to come. So at least the Canes were kind of a little bit more around, but Philadelphia have been on a tear, as good a tear as anybody in the NHL, still 6 points back of a playoff spot.
And you got to think, what are the Canes going to do? There's talk of Ferland moving. There's talk of Hamilton moving, and now they're in a playoff spot. I don't know what they're going to do in Carolina, but they better get some good assets that can play today back for those two players.
Well, we get ready for the trade deadline on Monday, and we, of course, chatted with Chris Johnston. We heard the Hockey Headline segment with David Amber, Elliot Friedman, Chris, and Nick Kyprios from Hockey Night in Canada. And you know, it's kind of full on. The deadline will be Monday the 25th.
Thank you. I was looking at it. I'm like, Monday? Yeah, I got to get in.
Monday.
I got to get in the gym.
Yeah, you're going to be on TV. So you can't keep ducking. Are you still ducking Deborah for your clothes?
No, Deborah. How about this? How good did this work out? I wrote Deborah when I was in Phoenix on my family trip and said, listen, yeah, I'm not avoiding you. I just haven't been able to get in. And she said, it's no problem, Mark. I'm away till the 18th or whatever. So she's coming back this weekend. So we'll meet up and get that suit on in the next little bit.
And Deborah's Deb Berman, who handles the clothes for the
TV. Great.
She's really outstanding.
Great. Yeah.
Now, I did throw you under the bus. I said
no.
I said you were afraid to come in because you got fitted when you're really thin. So I did throw you under the bus.
So she knows that for real?
Yeah, she knows that. She's cool. Goodness. She wouldn't say that. That's okay. Goodness. You're going to look great.
I'm going to have to go for a body wrap this weekend. You know those body wraps where you can sweat it out before I go in there?
You'll be fine. So, again, talking about different things that are in play, and if Matt Duchene is, in fact, in play, that Elliot Friedman seems to think that will be the case. There seemed to be more optimism about Mark Stone possibly signing on with the Ottawa Senators and staying put. But the point being is, Carolina. And their owner loves trades, okay? He just likes to see action. He's an impatient guy. So Michael Ferland was apparently out there. Dougie Hamilton apparently out there. But when you're in the playoffs now, you're looking real, real different. I mean, last year, the St. Louis Blues traded Paul Stastny, and they missed the playoffs by 1 point. So you kind of look at that, okay, you know, just 1 point. That's a lot to give up. That player made the 1 point difference to get you in the playoffs.
It is amazing. And to be honest, they got a guy at the helm right now, Don Waddell, who doesn't mind making that big deal. Danny Heatley, Marian Hossa, Mark Savard. I mean, he's made some big, big deals in his day, Gord.
Yeah, well, nothing tops the Mark Savard one as well. And actually, Don Waddell is a very, to me, he's a personal friend, bias. So I worked with him in two situations with the Leafs and then with the New York Rangers. But, you know, that was a tough situation in Atlanta. And, you know, he's a hockey guy that, given the chance to make some moves, I really value his hockey opinion. So I'm glad he's getting this chance in Carolina. I'm really glad he added a guy like Rick Dudley as well as his right-hand guy that he took from the Montreal organization.
Well, one of his biggest deals was the deal for me. And you know what he moved to get me?
Mountains, I bet you. Yeah.
Yeah, a mountain of a guy that's, I don't know if it was a real person. His name was Ruslan Zanulin.
Ruslan Zanulin?
Yeah.
You got traded one-for-one for Ruslan Zanulin?
Ruslan Zanulin ended up being he was a first-round pick somewhere, and I don't even know if he was real.
Wait, they traded him to get you?
Yeah, out of Calgary.
So Ruslan Zanulin went to Calgary.
Yeah.
And Mark Savard, it was just a one-for-one
trade. Ruslan Zanulin never showed up in Calgary, though.
No.
So that's...
Are you worried about him?
Maybe that's what they call future considerations, but they named it Ruslan Zanulin.
Ruslan Zanulin. Yeah. And then Atlanta, you left as a free agent to go to Boston?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how it all went.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, very good. Very
good.
Well,
I know they want to hear from other players tonight, so...
Yeah, it's 2-0. Arizona defeats the Toronto Maple Leafs. Shots on goal 29-21 in favor of the Arizona Coyotes over the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. Let's hear first of all, we talked about Freddie Anderson, and of course, he was our Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Leaf player of the game. Really, the only guy that seemed in the game in a lot of ways. 29-21, they're outshot. He stopped 27 of the 29 shots. Here is Freddie Anderson post game after the loss.
asking the guys how difficult it was to get something generated the other way from your perspective, watching it all. How challenging is it to play a trap game like we saw here tonight for your teammates?
Yeah, I felt like they're trying hard to get something something going, but it seemed like the puck was bounced a little bit on their sticks, and tough to generate some big chances. So it one of those nights where it didn't really go our way, and those happened.
Travel a lot of games recently, and how much of a role do you think fatigue plays in an effort like this?
I don't know. I think if it is fatigue, we'll have a couple of days to get some rest and get back at it in St. Louis.
Is it kind of fun? I mean, I know tonight you lost, but to be on a long road trip like this and to have a little bit of time like you do in the next couple of days to get together, is that kind of fun?
Yeah, of course. I hope we can keep building the team and get some good team chemistry, and every time you spend some time, you get to know each other even better, and some of the new guys get to gel with the team a little bit more, and I think that's a good opportunity. So it's been a pretty good road trip so far, and hopefully we can get ready for Tuesday, right? Make sure we get back on track and keep going.
Did that shot in the first period get you on the chest or the protector of your mask?
Sort of by like the throat area. Lost the air a little bit there, but it's a little battle for the puck, but a lot of traffic.
Yeah, Freddie Anderson. I guess he's looking forward to the rookie dinner, which would be happening afterwards, but what can you say? He did all he could for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. So I don't know where they get interviewed, but it's actually a loud spot, and we'll hear from Mike Babcock in a few minutes as well. It's just kind of loud wherever they do the interviews in Arizona. But a 2-0 loss, and Freddie was about the only bright spot for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. And Morgan Riley, he has been a bright spot so many games. You could almost hear his frustration a couple of times. I think the microphone picked up an expletive or two just about, you know, one of the goals against just some hard luck not getting it out. Another one where the power play looked like it was going to connect and couldn't connect, and the puck came out. You got to love the competitiveness of Morgan Riley, certainly a Norris Trophy candidate out there. Like all his teammates, a tough night, a minus one. Everybody was a minus tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Not everybody, but nobody was a plus, obviously, when you get a shutout. So a minus one. Nobody was minus two, though. So spread out a little bit that way. He had one shot on net of the 21. He played 22 minutes and 54 seconds. He had one stat jumping out, though. He had five attempts that were blocked. And that's a lot, okay? That's a lot. Five attempts that were blocked. So you know probably that was one of his curse words. Here he is, post-game, Morgan Riley after the 2-0 loss.
Playing a team like that for traps the way they do in terms of a team with Toronto and the flow that they like to execute with?
Yeah, they did a good job. Clogged up the neutral zone, kind of took away our speed a little bit. I think, there are periods of the game where it's pretty obvious that we were getting a little bit frustrated. And, you know, they're doing a good job of clogging up the neutral zone, making it hard on us to break out, and just the way it goes.
They have the best penalty kill in the league. What makes it tough when you're out there with
power? Well, they're aggressive. They come hard. They try to create offense sometimes off it. I think they have the most goals for a PK. So, they skate well, they come aggressively, and, you know, when they get a chance to try to create offense that way, they do.
Teams obviously expect, or fans as well, to see Toronto with flow and the success that goes. You've been around the league long enough to know that that's not going to happen. You just chalk it up, move on, and get ready for St. Louis practice on Monday.
Yeah, I think we've had some good games along this road trip. And, you know, lots of things that we can take away as positives. Mm-hmm. I don't think tonight was our best performance. In the room before the game, we felt ready. We felt like we knew what we had to do, but they did a good job of, like I said, clogging up the neutral zone, taking away our speed. So, we'll do some video on it tomorrow and talk about, you know, what we can do better, just like after every game. And, we got one more game before we head home, and we're going to try to make it a win.
Have you liked, though, this year that this team has been able to put behind performances like this?
Yeah, I think it's a sign of maturity. Obviously, we're not happy with the way this went. And, you know, we're going to talk about it tonight. We're going to talk about it tomorrow. And the day after that, and then we got a game. So, it's time to move on from it at some point. But, you know, I think it's important that you take the lessons, you meet with the coaches, and you learn what you can do better to, you know, prevent it.
Yeah, Morgan Riley talking about, and of course, Paul Hendrick asking the questions a lot about the trap style. Pretty effective. Hey, the Arizona Coyotes worked hard tonight. Give them full marks about it. The Maple Leafs looked like it was going to be their game early on. And then the Coyotes took over for whatever it was, 52, 54 minutes. You pick it. and really dominated. And you mentioned the trap game, the cutting down. There wasn't much ice to skate in. They really took that part away. They did a lot of things really well. Let's give Arizona Coyotes full marks for how they played tonight. It is a 2-0 win for them. And one turnaround points one might thought of was it should have been 3-0, but Nazem Kadri is a forward but made a great defensive play that saved a certain third goal. And Leafs, though, not able to get any offense, go and capitalize, make that kind of a turnaround point. So Naz was even. He had 3 shots on net, which is a lot considering Leafs had 21. Mate played 60 minutes, 52 seconds. Here's Nazem Kadri after tonight's 2-0 loss.
So tough, Naz, to get anything going offensively.
Well, they did a good job being above guys, tracking back and playing with speed, and just made it a little sloppy out there for us. So, I mean, the ice wasn't in the best condition, which probably didn't work in our favor, but, they did a good job tonight.
How is it you guys this season have been able to shake off a loss or two and get right back at it?
I think just, we're a confident team, and we understand that, some nights are going to be off and not everyone's going to be perfect, especially on the road. So, we're a pretty resilient group and just able to shrug games like this off.
What does having a couple of days here with everybody together do for you guys?
It's nice as a team, that bonding experience and just gelling as a group, and hopefully, we're in a position to contend. So, road trips like this certainly help chemistry of the team.
Special to get another chance to play Bozy and company, and there seems to be so much camaraderie, at least off the ice, with the St. Louis team and a bunch of you guys.
Yeah, they're hot right now. They're we certainly got to watch out for that. They got a hot goaltender and they're playing well. So. It's always nice going up against former teammates, and I'm sure we'll catch up before the game. But those are 2 points we got to have.
I'm curious about the Arizona penalty kill. Best of the league.
Yeah, aggressive, very aggressive. They seems like any sort of bobbled puck, which seemed to be happening a lot tonight. They're right on top of you, and it almost doesn't feel like you're even up a man. So just all out attack, and they definitely do a good job at that.
I'm sure you've seen it your entire career with the Leafs, but what did you think of the fan support on this road trip? It always seems like every building is half Leafs fans.
Amazing, amazing. That's Leaf Nation in full support there. We understand that we have the best fans in the league, and it's important to us that we represent them well, and they're always going to have our backs. So it's important to play well.
Do you think the travel caught up to you guys on the schedule here tonight at all? Or?
I don't think so. We had a nice day yesterday, good practice day, and. Guys are feeling fresh. Just sometimes, pucks aren't bouncing your way, and the puck luck is, just out of the ordinary. So, like I said, you can't take credit away from them. They played a great game, and when we had chances, they made stops. So you got to give it to them.
You guys as a team are at a point now. These things don't linger, correct, guys?
Pardon me, sorry.
These things don't linger.
No, absolutely not. Like I said, we're, we got that confidence and that swagger to be able to brush ones like these off. We understand that we gotta, watch some film and fix our mistakes, and definitely, on that side of thing. But, we're able to flip the page pretty quick, and I don't see this being any different.
Nazem Kadri of the Toronto Maple Leafs after the 2-0 loss to the Arizona Coyotes. Interesting, a couple things he talked about. One is, about the ice. That's unfortunate. I mean, ice surfaces in the NHL, Scotiabank Arena. Has had its complaints from time to time. I know they've tried to put different systems, and I haven't heard it so much this year, but you would hope and you'd be worried about if Arizona were ever to go deep in the playoffs and that getting good ice at that time of the year. But boy, full marks to their penalty kill. As he said, man, you get no time. It's a very aggressive penalty kill. They're on top of you right away. And it has been a part, whatever success the Arizona Coyotes have had, that has been a big part of their success, and this will move them up now to 3 points out of a playoff spot in the Western Conference. There's a lot of teams, though, there that are jammed with them, but all you can do is keep at it. And without Antti Raanta, Darcy Kuemper's had to come up big. He came up big tonight, getting the shutout victory for them. The other part was looking ahead, and you heard Paul Hendrick ask the question about the St. Louis Blues, and old friend Tyler Bozak will be there when they take on the St. Louis Blues, but hot teams. And this used to be a tough trip when you went to California and St. Louis. This one isn't the California. St. Louis is added on to the kind of the Vegas, Colorado trip. But once again, the St. Louis Blues are very, very tough at home. They're in a playoff spot. by a decent margin now. They've been on that tear. We mentioned earlier, and Don Cherry, as Mark Savard was saying, taking a bit of a strip off the Carolina Hurricanes. He's not big on their post-game celebration. Well, at least when they celebrate, it means they won, and the Carolina Hurricanes, by winning tonight, are now in the Eastern Conference playoff picture. The Pittsburgh Penguins would be the ninth-seeded team right now, just a little bit out of the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference. So we are looking forward to that on Tuesday, the Leafs taking on the St. Louis Blues. What we're looking forward to coming up, we'll hear from head coach Mike Babcock. Chris Johnston will join us from Arizona. We'll play back the goals. We'll get our direct energy, hardest working Leaf. That's all coming up with Gord Stellick, Mark Savard. A 2-0 win for the Arizona Coyotes over the Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.